Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Father, open our hearts and minds now through the power of your Holy Spirit that we might hear what it is you have to say to us. For we ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading is Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Please stand in honor of God's word. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guest chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For those of you that read the newsletter, I often would like to know how many really do. How many of you read March's newsletter? Let's be honest. Most of you. Well, I talked about the headline news, you know, and the winner is, oops, it happened at the Miss Universe pageant in 2015 when Steve Harvey read the winner of Miss Universe is Miss Columbia instead of Miss Philippines. And once again, only this time it was at the Oscars when Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway were given the wrong envelope and announced Best Picture as La La Land instead of Moonlight. Needless to say, it is quite an embarrassing moment on nationwide television. Well, as we approach this Lenten season, let's not make the same mistake in our spiritual lives, for it is far more embarrassing, and its implications upon our spiritual lives are more detrimental than a contest. We have the option of choosing the winning attributes when Jesus Christ is walking with us. And so throughout this Lenten season, we're going to look at, and the winner is, and we will see the spiritual attribute that Jesus would want us to choose. Today, the winner is humility instead of pride. Jesus ate with all different people. It's very evident in today's passage as Jesus is eating with the Pharisees. He was obviously invited to the house of one of the rulers to eat bread on the Sabbath. But notice the scripture tells us that they watched him closely. There obviously was an ulterior motive here. But that didn't stop Jesus from going and eating and teaching. The first teaching is with a man who is in need of healing. But it is the Sabbath, and of course the Pharisees would see this as a major problem, to heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus heals anyway, and then he questions them about it. They keep silent, and Jesus helps them to see how poor their reasoning is when they would pull a donkey or an ox that had fallen into a pit on the Sabbath, yet they wouldn't heal this poor man before them with a disease. Jesus sees the importance of the man receiving healing, whether it's a Sabbath or it's not the Sabbath. The arrogance of the Pharisees in keeping all their prescribed rules and regulations, that they would lack the compassion and humility to help someone in need, is alluded to by Jesus in this passage. Their arrogance and self-importance was evident as well when Jesus looked around and he saw the seats that they had occupied. They chose the best places. So Jesus does a little teaching again, and this time it's that he talks about their seating arrangements, and he does so in a parable. He uses a parable about being invited to a wedding feast. He says, don't sit down in the best place because someone more honorable than you might show up, and then the host would have to tell you to move. And it would be quite embarrassing to take a lesser place of honor. Instead, Jesus says to take the lowest place and you may be asked to move to a higher place. Then the next observation of Jesus, who was seated at this table, is that he noticed that there is this elite group of friends, perhaps family, important people, rich people. And so he says to the Pharisees to invite those who are not part of your elite group, those you would never think of asking to your home, the poor, the lame, the blind, the maimed. And your reward will be in heaven. Jesus is giving the Pharisees and you and me as well a little lesson on humility. And if we think we have humility, we already do not have humility. It's one of those attributes, if you think you got it, you don't have it. Because then pride enters in if you think you're so humble. Well, let's look at humility and some of the things that Jesus is saying here. Number one, it's not all about you. You know, we live in a world today where, you know, I'm number one, it's all about me. And Jesus is telling us it's not all about you. Walter Cronkite recalls the incident when he was sailing back down the Mystic River in Connecticut. And following the channel's tricky turns through an expanse of shallow water, he said, I'm reminded of the time a boatload of young people sped past us here, its occupants shouting and waving their arms. I waved back a cheery greeting, and my wife said, do you know what they were shouting? Why, it was, hello, Walter. She said, no, they were shouting, low water, low water. See, it's not all about us. Secondly, a lesson in humility is that we need to look to the needs of others. A truly humble man is hard to find, and yet one could find one in the person of Booker T. Washington, the renowned black educator. Shortly after he took over the presidency of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in a very exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked if he would like to earn a few dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at the moment, Professor Washington smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and then proceeded to do the humble chore she had requested. When he was finished, he carried the logs into the house and stacked them by the fireplace. A little girl recognized him and later revealed his identity to the wealthy lady. The next morning, the embarrassed woman went to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute and apologized profusely. "It's perfectly all right, madam," he replied. "Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand warmly and reassured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and his work to her heart. Not long afterward, she showed her admiration by persuading some wealthy acquaintances to join her in donating thousands of dollars to the Tuskegee Institute. Booker T. Washington humbled himself by providing help to someone in need. The third lesson that we can learn is that we need to remember those less fortunate than ourselves and invite them into our inner circle. You know, oftentimes we have this little circle of friends that are a lot like us, that we don't expand that circle to others who perhaps are less fortunate. Some years ago in a Midwestern town, there was a little boy who was born blind. And his parents were heartsick, but they did their best. They prayed and hoped for some miracle, for they wanted their son to be able to see. One day when he was 5 years old, their family doctor told them of a surgeon at Massachusetts General Hospital who was specializing in a new surgical procedure that just might work to help the boy to see. The parents were excited, but they soon discovered that it was cost prohibitive. But word got out into the community and the church, and the funds were raised to help the family. The morning they were going to leave, the little boy gathered all his things, including his tattered little teddy bear. It had an ear chewed off, was missing an eye, and was bursting at the seams. The boy's mother tried to encourage him to leave it at home, even saying that they could buy him a new one once they got to Boston. The boy said, "No, I need it." Off to Boston they went, and the boy holding tightly to his teddy bear. The surgeon sensed how important it was for him, so he allowed him to have it with him through all the examinations. And on the morning of surgery, the hospital staff brought in two surgical gowns, one for the little boy and a smaller version for the teddy bear. And off they went to surgery. Everything went well, but they wouldn't know for a few days if he could see. And finally, the day came for the doctor to remove the bandages. Slowly, everyone watched. Miracle of miracles, the little boy could see for the very first time. He saw his mother's face for the very first time, his father's face and the doctor's, his flowers and candy and balloons, and for the very first time, he saw his teddy bear. It was a joyous celebration. When it came time to leave the hospital, his surgeon came into the room, and the doctor had grown so attached to the little boy that he had to busy himself with those insignificant gestures that we do when we're trying to surmount a great wall of emotion. They said their goodbyes with tears of joy all around. The doctor turned to leave, and the little boy called him back. "Doctor," the little boy said, "I want you to have this." He was holding out the teddy bear. The doctor tried to refuse, but the little boy insisted. "Doctor, I don't have any money, so I want to give you my teddy bear to pay for helping me to see. I want you to have it. It's my way of saying thanks." The doctor took the teddy bear and shook the little boy's hand and wished him well. For a long time after that, on the 10th floor of the White Building of Massachusetts General Hospital, there was on display a teddy bear, bursting at the seams, with a chewed off ear and one eye. And there was a sign under it written in the hand of that surgeon. It read, "This is the highest fee I have ever received for professional services rendered." Remember those who are less fortunate and invite them into your circle. The fourth lesson about humility is that humble apologies speak volumes. Many years ago, Christian professor Stuart Blackie of the University of Edinburgh was listening to his students as they presented oral readings. When one young man rose to begin his recitation, he held his book in the wrong hand. The professor thundered, "Take your book in your right hand and be seated." At this harsh rebuke, the student held up his right arm. He didn't have a right hand. The other students shifted uneasily in their chairs, and for a moment the professor hesitated. Then he made his way to the student, put his arms around him, and with tears streaming from his eyes, said, "I never knew about it. Please, will you forgive me?" His humble apology made a lasting impact on that young man. At the close of the meeting, a man came forward, turned to the crowd, and raised his right arm. It ended at the wrist, and he said, "I was that student. Professor Blackie led me to Christ, but he never could have done it if he had not made the wrong right." Humility, asking and receiving forgiveness humbly. And the last lesson to learn about humility is to remember our position in Christ, because that is who it really is all about. Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large Presbyterian church in Melbourne, Australia. The moderator of the service introduced the missionary in eloquent and glowing terms. He told the large congregation all that Taylor had accomplished in China, and then presented him as our illustrious guest. Taylor stood quietly for a moment and then opened his message by saying, "Dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master." Corrie ten Boom once observed, "You just collect roses, the praise and compliments during the day. You hold them, put them together in a bouquet. Then at the end of the day, you get on your knees and say, 'Here, Father, these are yours all along. I just held them for you.'" Ruth Harms Calkin does a masterful job on the subject of humility in her poem entitled, "I Wonder." "You know, Lord, how I serve you, with great emotional favor in the limelight. You know how eagerly I speak for you at a women's club. You know my genuine enthusiasm at Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed to a basin of water and asked me to wash the calloused feet of a bent and wrinkled old woman day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw and nobody knew?" Jesus says it this way: "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for this wonderful passage of Scripture, Lord. Father, our desire is not to have pride, but to have humility. And we know that we can only have a humble heart when we are in a relationship with you and when we give you the credit and the honor and the glory that is due. For you have given us all the talents, you have given us all the abilities, you have given us all that we have. And Father, we ask that you help us to remember it's not about us. Help us to remember the needs of others. Help us, Lord, to remember those less fortunate and open our inner circle to include those people in our lives. And Father, we pray that you help us to humbly offer forgiveness and seek forgiveness. And help us, Lord, to remember our position in Christ, because that is what it really is all about, who we are in Christ Jesus. Help us not to seek adulation and praise, but help us, Lord, to seek you and to seek to do the things behind the scenes when nobody sees, nobody's looking, nobody knows. And help us to remember your words. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. For we ask and pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.